afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenters for this week, Carmel O'Donoghue and I, John Bourne. Coming up on the programme this week, I'll be speaking to Martina Quinn, Executive Director at DHR Communications, a Dublin company that has been shortlisted for the prestigious European Business Awards. Carmel has her weekly focus on Irish European anecdotes. We'll have a rundown on some of the stories of Irish interest that are making the headlines across Europe, and we'll have some wonderful eclectic music from France and Iceland as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour and your programme Europe Today. President Michael D. Higgins will formally launch the European Year of Development later today in Dublin Castle. A number of high-profile events will take place around the country between now and December. The calendar of events will be published in the coming weeks. Hans Zimmer of Docus says events here in Ireland and across the EU will be aimed at improving our respective societies.
The European Year for Development is a year of actions and events all aimed at informing and engaging people in Ireland and across the European Union about the important issues that are happening internationally. It's a year in which we can celebrate the many ways in which ordinary people can help build a better world.
House prices are rising faster in Ireland than they are in any other EU country. New figures out recently from Eurostat show that residential property values rose 15% in the 12 months leading up to the third quarter of 2014. House prices rose by only 0.05% in the other 18 countries using the euro currency. Ruth Deasy of the EU office in Dublin says that while the rate rise is high, the figures come from a low base.
Well, these are the latest figures from Eurostat, and it shows that the highest annual increase in house prices took place in Ireland. We're closely followed by some of the Baltic states. Of course, these are coming from a very low base, but it's very much in contrast with the EU average, which was a rise of 2.3%. In Ireland, it was 15%. And in the Eurozone, it's just 0.5%.
The Irish charity Respect is seeking 40 researchers to develop technologies for intellectually disabled people and those who are autistic. As part of a €9 million programme funded by the European Commission, it is seeking social and behavioural experts, occupational therapists, behaviour psychologists, speech and language professionals, computer scientists, engineers and healthcare graduates. More details are available on the respect.ie website. Dr. Shiona Gorman of Respect says the successful applicants will be well paid for the wide range of areas they apply for.
We're looking for behavioural psychologists, computer scientists, special educators. These researchers would put forward a proposal for a 2 or 3 year project. There's various categories, but 2 or 3 years, and they will conduct research assessing perhaps how a certain technology will impact on helping people with disabilities in education or with communication.
The European Consumer Centre in Ireland is advising consumers to be cautious when signing up to free trials. The centre recorded an increase of 89% in the number of free trial complaints received in 2014, with some consumers charged up to €1,200 by disreputable traders. Grace Duffy of the ECC says some people sign up for a trial and end up paying excessive fees for products they don't really want.
We've seen a large increase in the number of people who have been caught out by what we would consider to be free trial scams. Basically, what happens is that the consumer might sign up for a free trial for a certain period of something like a diet pill or a skincare product or something like that, and pay a certain amount for postage and packaging. But what actually happens is that they're inadvertently signed up to a subscription service, which can then charge them monthly very significant amounts.
The EU Commission says it will continue its work to combat tax avoidance and aggressive tax policies of some member states. Commissioner Dombrovskis, in charge of struggling Eurozone economies, was speaking in relation to recent accusations against Ireland and Luxembourg that they agreed special tax arrangements with multinationals such as Apple and Amazon. The former Latvian Prime Minister said he welcomed the steps taken so far by the Irish government in getting rid of the so-called double Irish tax loop. He was speaking ahead of his appearance at an IMF conference in Dublin on Monday.
Certainly we welcome the steps which have been taken by Irish authorities in terms of dealing with so-called double Irish. Certainly it's a step in the right direction. But as I said, European Commission is going to continue its work in this direction to deal again to combat tax avoidance and also deal with this in a context of OECD initiative against base erosion and profit shifting.
The Irish economy is continuing to grow beyond all expectations. New figures out recently from Eurostat show that industrial production in Ireland in the 12 months up to November 2014 rose by 35.8%. The figures are extraordinary, as the EU average for the same period was only 0.2%. Ruth Deasy of the EU office in Dublin says we're surging ahead in certain sectors.
When we look at Ireland as the highest increase in industrial production for the last year, and when we break it down, we can see that the pharmaceutical sectors and the high-tech sectors are responsible for a huge increase of over 70% in both areas.
We'll be right back.
you may be familiar with that track from some advertising campaign. I don't know what it is, but the track is by artist Asgeir Trausti, and he's from Iceland.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Ireland's bailout programme had a number of flaws which added to the burden on the state's finances. That's according to Central Bank Governor Patrick O'Hanlon, who was addressing a gathering of Troika members in Dublin Castle earlier this week. Mr O'Hanlon said he shared the view that the programme was a significant success, but it did have elements which were lacking and which reduced the likelihood of it ending successfully. These elements included the interest rate on the bailout lending was simply too high. The programme had no system for efficiently dealing with bank debt, such as external funding or an insurance scheme, which placed an additional burden on the state. And the Troika insisted that no senior bondholders would be burned, which was a significant flaw in the overall programme. Latest figures from Eurostat show that Ireland had the largest yearly increase in industrial production in the EU in 2014. Irish industrial production rose by 36% over that period. The highest rises were in Ireland's pharmaceutical and high-tech sectors. The food and energy sectors also showed strong growth. EU foreign ministers pledged on Monday to counter radical Muslims returning from Syria and Iraq with a better strategy at home and abroad, but ruled out sweeping new laws in the wake of the January 7th Paris attacks. Following the deadliest assault by militant Islamists on a European city since suicide bombers targeted London's transport system in 2005, Europe is seeking a united response without new legislation or a prolonged military presence on the street. Almost 9 out of 10 respondents in Ireland say helping people in developing countries is important. That's according to a Eurobarometer survey to mark the beginning of European Year for Development 2015. In fact, they are the third most likely after respondents in Sweden and Cyprus to consider this very important. Just 50 days after announcing its ambitious investment plan for Europe to boost jobs and growth, the European Commission adopted the legislative proposal for the European Fund for Strategic Investments. The fund is at the very heart of President Juncker's investment offensive, which will mobilise at least €315 billion in private and public investment across the European Union. This will especially support strategic investments, such as in broadband and energy networks, as well as smaller companies with fewer than 3,000 employees. New EU rules mean better EU-wide protection for victims of domestic violence. This means that restraining, protection and barring orders issued in one country are now quickly and easily recognisable across the EU through simple certification. A citizen who has suffered domestic abuse will now be able to feel safe to travel outside their home country by simply transferring the order that protects them from the offender. The EU launched €200 million fast track to innovation to bring ideas to market quicker. Over the next 2 years, the pilot initiative will be open to all types of participants, particularly from industry, while stimulating first-time applications from industry and SMEs to Horizon 2020, the EU's research and innovation funding programme. Projects funded under the pilot are to be business-driven to ensure promising innovative ideas are exploited faster. The EU Parliament has commemorated the 70th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz recently. The European Parliament President Martin Schulz said that Jews in Europe still fear for their safety today. That is something that must frighten us, and we need to resist that fear. On the 27th of January 1945, the Auschwitz concentration camp was liberated by Soviet soldiers. Established by the Nazis in 1940, it became the largest of the death camps. More than 1.1 million people lost their lives there. Countries providing high-quality jobs and effective social protection and investing in human capital have proved to be more resilient to the economic crisis. That's according to the newly published 2014 Employment and Social Developments in Europe review. The review looked into the lessons learned from the recession to see that its negative impact on employment and income was smaller for countries with more open and less segmented labour markets and stronger investment in lifelong learning. This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Je deviens un casse-tête. Ton rire me crie de te lâcher avant de perdre prise et d'abandonner. Car je ne t'en demanderai jamais autant. Déjà que tu me traites comme un grand enfant. Et nous n'avons plus rien à risquer à part nos vies qu'on laisse de côté. Et il m'aime encore et moi je t'aime un peu plus fort. Mais il m'aime encore et moi je t'aime un peu. S'en est assez de citer doublement, c'est plus dur à faire qu'autrement. Car sans rire, c'est plus facile de rêver à ce qu'on ne pourra jamais plus toucher. Et on se prend la main comme des enfants, le bonheur ou l'œuvre un peu naïvement. Et on marche ensemble d'un pas décidé, alors que nos têtes nous crient de tout arrêter. Il m'aime encore, et toi tu m'aimes un peu plus fort. Mais il m'aime encore, et moi je t'aime un peu plus fort. Et malgré ça il m'aime encore, et moi je t'aime un peu plus fort. Mais il m'aime encore, et moi je t'aime un peu plus fort.
That's a track called Comme des Enfants by Cour de Perrette, and that young lady is one of the most popular singers in France at the moment.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
Since 2007, the European Business Awards has been shining a light on the most innovative businesses on the continent by promoting success, innovation and ethics in the European business community. All companies shortlisted for the awards are currently participating in an online public vote. And Dublin communications company DHR, which is based here in Francis Street, is calling on the Irish public and especially our listeners to get behind them and vote. On the line now to tell us a little bit more about all this is Martina Quinn, Executive Director at DHR Communications. Good afternoon, Martina. Thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today. Martina, you're up against some pretty stiff competition in your particular category.
So I suppose we are competing with companies that have hundreds and hundreds
Indeed,
of employees. We're an SME, we're a small to medium-sized enterprise. We have 12 employees, so we obviously have a slight disadvantage in terms of people power there. So we're hoping what will happen is that the wider public really get behind us and vote for us. We would consider that we're very representative of the type of company that's sort of driving Ireland's economic recovery.
Yeah, indeed.
And I suppose that never contributed to the downfall in the first place, because we had always kept a very lean and efficient business even during the boom years. And that really stood to us then when things got bad in recent times.
Right.
And in actual fact, we managed to grow our business during the recession. So we actually doubled our workforce numbers.
Brilliant.
We grew
Brilliant.
From having 6 employees to 12. We work really hard and we're really committed to the type of work we do. So we'd hope that people sort of recognise that and see the type of business that we are, that we're passionate about our work, that we're helping to make Ireland a better place to live in, and get behind us and vote for us for
Fantastic.
Those reasons.
Yeah, thanks, Martina. How important is an award like this in the overall approach of an SME?
I think it's really important because for us, both in Ireland and across the EU, we're constantly trying to win new business. So we're often invited to tender for, you know, to potentially work with a new client, or we take part in a public procurement competition. And it's all well and good us saying, well, we do great work. But obviously, if you're a new potential new client and you've never come across this before, you need something to validate that and to prove that. So if we can say, well, we've competed in the European Business Awards and we've done well, and the quality of our work has been acknowledged in the European Business Awards, it's a bit like getting a stamp of approval from an independent source. So the judges for these awards are leading academics, politicians, media professionals from across Europe. They're really, really high caliber judges. There's been former prime ministers involved in judges in the past, and former EU trade commissioners, stuff like that. So it's a big stamp of approval for us to get through to this stage of the competition and hopefully to go further. And it just means in developing our business in future years, new clients will be able to see that we've gotten that stamp of approval.
Of course, your whole idea of a European identity is sort of falling out of favour. So, I mean, is it even worth your while pursuing any sort of activity in these type of competitions?
Yeah, I think definitely. I suppose I wouldn't really agree with you about the European
identity.
Thank
you, Martina. Thank you. I'm saying that.
Well, hopefully the wider Irish public won't either. But I get your point. There is a growing scepticism towards European affairs, I suppose, but we would consider it as very pro-European in DHR. We have, at the moment, there's one of our employees is German. Another one lived and worked in Germany before joining the company. Another one worked in Brussels for a couple of years. I've lived myself in London and Edinburgh and Paris at various points in time.
Yeah.
We work with clients in a range of different sectors, like in the education sector, technology, health, business, the arts. And I think it's really important to have a wide and sort of global outlook when you're working in those sectors. If you're very sort of insular and just looking to what's happening in Ireland the whole time, it can stifle creativity or stifle innovation. So I think it's great to be able to look to our neighbours in Europe and indeed further afield. There's like really exciting things happening the whole time in the United States, in Asia, in South America. So it's great to have a mix of perspectives going into any new campaign, and I think it gives us a good creative edge.
And the previous winners now were Hygieia Hospital in Tirana in Albania. Have you had a look to see what it was that made them stand out and how you maybe can duplicate what they actually did? Have you had a look at what they did to win this particular prestigious award?
We've met some of the, even actually amongst Irish companies who participated in the competition in the past, we've met and spoken to some of the others who've been involved in previous years, and I do think we've a fairly big challenge ahead of us. I'm excited about it, but a little bit nervous about it as well.
Yeah.
I know the next phase of the competition after the online public vote will be that we are going to be invited over to London and we'll have to pitch our business to a panel of judges. So it's a bit like the Dragon's Den style idea.
Yeah, yeah.
And from what I've heard and from what I've been told by previous competitors, it's fairly tough, you know, that they really put you through your paces and they challenge you about why your business should be considered. So in our category, we're in the Employer of the Year category. So I suppose they'll really ask us around, you know, what makes us a good employer, the policies we have in place for employees and so on. So yeah, we've lots of rehearsing and practice.
You've done your homework. Yeah. I had a look at the website as well. It's fairly comprehensive website. When you does the way it works is the will you be selected, or whoever wins from the public vote, will that be, they'll be shortlisted then from the particular categories and then they'll go and do that pitch you're talking about? Is that the way it works, or
it's
is everybody
complicated
who's
everybody so basically what happened was at the start of this competition, the European Business Awards structure engaged with over 24,000 businesses in 33 different countries across Europe. So we've been shortlisted, and
that's
there's a few hundred companies in total. I think it's 300 and something companies in total that have been shortlisted.
That's fantastic, Martina. Well done on that.
So, I mean, we were delighted with that achievement. So all of the shortlisted companies now are involved in the online public vote. And that runs a little bit separately to the rest of the competition.
So we'll
go through to the next round in London, and we'll have to face that Dragon's Den style panel, regardless of what happens in the public vote. But the public vote is obviously a way for as it says on the tin, it's a way for the wider members of the public to get behind the companies in their countries and really show their support for them.
Brilliant. Okay, now people have until the 24th of February to get organised. So, what is exactly the procedure? Can you walk them through the procedure? It's fairly straightforward.
Thing,
but if you can give them the details and stuff like that,
So the easiest thing for people to do is to just go to our website, which is www.dhr.ie.
Okay.
And the very first thing that you see when you get to our homepage is a link saying vote for DHR, please. So if people just click on that link.
Can't make it any simpler than that.
No.
Okay, so straight to DHR website and get voting.
Click on the link and they'll be able to vote. And they can also see a video, actually, when they click through to that link, they'll be able to see a video that gives more insights about our work and, you know, what makes us a good employer.
Right, okay. And of course, no cheating. You can't keep voting just because
the IP addresses
are going
to
be monitored.
You have to enter your email address, so unfortunately...
Oh, you have to put in your email address. Okay, brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. So they can click on and put in their email address and that's a vote there
for
them.
That's it, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Martina, listen, thanks very much. The best of luck. It's a fantastic achievement, irrespective of everything that goes on from now on in, but again, as I said, a very exciting opportunity for you to get over and get involved in the competition, and to be selected on the shortlist now, I think is a fantastic achievement. Well done, and no doubt you'll hold your own against some of the heavy hitters that are involved in the competition nationally and on the European stage as well. So I hope you enjoyed the experience, Martina.
Thanks so much.
After it's all done, you might come back to us and tell us how it all went and what your whole experience was. So I'd love to know exactly how that all went for you.
Yeah, because we'll get to meet so many interesting companies from all across Europe.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you need anybody to carry your briefcase with you while
you're
going over?
I'll come back to you on that.
Martina Quinn, for the moment, thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today, and the best of luck with the competition.
Thanks so much, John.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's, folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, a very, very special thank you to Martina Quinn, Executive Director at DHR Communications. Don't forget to check out our support website platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and a link to all the items that we've mentioned as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme, Europe Today.